Everything is true. Everything is correct. Our Lord says, I am come to send fire on earth. How I wished it were already kindled. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's how it was at the beginning. That's how it must become at the end. So it will become at the end. Jesus Christ is really the first and the last. As he was with the first ones, so he must be with the last ones. And what he did at the beginning, he must and will do at the end. Once again, we welcome every one of you from all peoples, tongues, and nations. Again, we had phone calls from Chicago, from Africa, and from all over. And all are sending greetings. And we are also greeting everyone. In a special way, I would like to welcome my friends, which I haven't seen since 40 years. They are sitting here in the second row. God bless you in our midst. God bless you. I don't know whether you like to be mentioned by name. It is just wonderful. And we remember the word of the Lord. Know that the Lord leads his saints wonderfully. And at the end of the end time, he calls the last ones out, regardless where they stay or dwell. He knows where they stay, and he calls out. In the last song which we sang together, we were singing, "Have you heard the call of grace?" And then we were also singing, maybe he comes in this year. Therefore, go ye out to go with him to the marriage supper. And the thought came to me, how many years is it ago since this songwriter has written this song? The expectation was really among the believers since the early church, because in Revelation 22 our Lord says, behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. Now 2,000 years have passed, and we may 100% count on that the Lord returns in our time. Day and hour, no one knows. But this we understood, that we truly have reached the end time. Please take the word seriously. Believe it, because only he who really believes the word with all his heart, to him it is being revealed by the Spirit. He who does not believe it, to him God cannot even speak. And if God cannot speak to us, and if we don't receive his word, how then can it be revealed to us? Now, I see my friends here from Switzerland. God bless you. Yes, from near and far, from all over Europe, we are gathered. We have then heard the word from Exodus, a wonderful word. A wonderful word. I make a covenant with thee and all thy people. And I will do miracles such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. A promise which God fulfilled from the very beginning. And then it says, Exodus 34, verse 10, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a wonderful thing that I will do with thee. What a word of God. With the term covenant, we could continue. When our Lord said at the Last Supper, this is the new covenant in my blood. The New Testament was enforced by the blood. And as in the natural realm, people are making a will, a testament, which becomes valid with their death, so the Lord made a new covenant, a new testament with his people. And with his death, everything was handed over to the heirs. And we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. This is divine reality. And if we believe it, then it will be manifested in you and in me. Brothers and sisters, if in the prophet Daniel, in chapter 12, in verse 4, is written, shut up the words and seal the book until the end time, then God arranged something very special for the end time. Not for the time between, but for the end time. And therefore, the emphasis is thereon that there are two prophetic ages. The first one was then at the first coming of our Lord, where Bible prophecy was fulfilled, where God fulfilled his promises. And now, at the end of the end time, it's just the same. It's a prophetic age, and therefore God illuminated the word of prophecy and has revealed it to us by his grace. I also must say here, I had great joy when I heard that yesterday, while our meeting was going on, a huge rainbow was above this whole building. A huge rainbow with all seven colors. And it was very mighty, very close, and very tremendous. Some have seen it and were rejoicing and testified of it. I'm asking myself, does God want to tell us by this? Ye are my people. I made the covenant with you. Ye are the covenant people. Ye belong to me. You believe what I have said in the word. We don't lay much weight on outward things. But yet it is nice when the heaven comes down and when God is present. And you all know, in the days of Noah, the Lord God placed the rainbow into the clouds and he said, I make a covenant with you and with thy descendants that I will never again destroy the earth by water. And when we read in Revelation chapter 10, when the Lord will reveal himself to the people of Israel as the angel of the covenant, then the rainbow is upon his head. Everything in the Holy Scripture has its meaning, has its place, and we just rejoice about it. If we, at this place, are mentioning Israel and the happenings there, and if we make a look to Rome, then not because we like doing it, and most certainly not to spend your time with it, but when the Holy Scripture predicts things, then it is our duty to open our eyes and to see how everything is shaping up. There are indeed two unities, the one under Rome, where all religions, all confessions, where the whole world is being united under one single head. And this one head is already today the head of state and the head of the church. And it will then be the head of the whole federation on earth. The other head is Jesus Christ, the head of the true church. And of him and from his lips are coming the words, Father, thou in me and I in them, that we may be one. Not mixing politics with religion, but God in Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is the divine unity. I permitted myself to write down some notes here. All the other things I don't want to emphasize anymore or going into it. But this here made me really think. I just say it for your information. Rome, 13th of May 2005. On Thursday, the 13th of May 2005, Pope Benedict the 16th appointed his successor as prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith. It is the Archbishop of San Francisco, USA, with the name William Joseph Levada. With this, the preliminary decision could have been made for the next Pope. Jeffersonville, 19th of December 1954, many, many years ago. Once again, 19th of December 1954, a quote of Brother Branham. I believe one of these glorious days, when this united confederation of church goes together and the new pope is brought out of the United States and put over there according to prophecy, then they will form an image like unto the beast. And I tell you, then the true church of God will be drove together. The real true believers out of Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness and so forth, whatever they will be, they will go together and be cemented by the love of God that will make the body of the Lord Jesus Christ all the believers. More I don't want to read today. It's always articles and statements of Brother Branham which touch me, which give me orientation. And then, as we were emphasizing last night, it is like Luke was writing in his introduction. Then we are searching, we are going to the Word, we are searching in the Old and the New Testament to get the orientation from God. Not what we are interpreting, but what God has to say to us through His Word. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, and this we we take as thus saith the Lord for the church. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 5. Ephesians 4 from verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He who said, to me is given all power in heaven and on earth. And afterward, he gave the great commission. Therefore, because to me, the Lord, is given all power in heaven and on earth, therefore, go into all the world and teach all nations. You can read it, Matthew 28, from verse 18. We read on in Ephesians 4, from verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Do we believe this? Is this true? He did it. And he appointed the ministries into the church. The question now, for what purpose? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then comes the direct purpose. Verse 13. Till we finally all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the goal of the New Testament church, to come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in the spiritual realm, that we do not remain children which are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that our hearts might be established, which happens by grace. Then we read on in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, with the trickery of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, umhergetrieben werden. Here we have the term deceive. He who goes to Matthew 24, verse 14, there the Lord says, don't be deceived. He who goes to verse 11, he who goes to verse 24, feels the seriousness of the warning that the deception at the end will be so bad that only the elect will really find grace with God, and they will not be deceived. And why not? Because they remain in the Word and are always asking the question, what does the Scripture say? This we must do. To this we are obligated before God. Here we have the pattern of the New Testament church. And to this pattern we must and will be brought back. When God sends a prophet, then only to adjust everything, to restore all things. But then there's the need of the working of the Holy Spirit, whereby the church is enabled to walk on the prepared way in obedience to the Word, to correct what was corrected in the message, to by this come to the divine unity. I was reading a book, and especially the 38 pages about me, but altogether, the people are speaking about seven thunders, and the ones who have this interpretation are attacking the other one who have another interpretation. And if the whole thing would not be so sad that one could actually start weeping, then one would actually have to laugh about it. But it is not to laugh about. And why is it happening? Because people have lost the respect before the Word of God. At this place, we will up to the end emphasize that God's Word has become our absolute, and it remains our absolute for all eternity. What God's Word does not teach, we will not teach. Where God's Word is silent, there we will be silent. Where God's Word speaks, there we will speak. And this is the difference between those who were appointed by God and who are having a divine ministry for the church, and every true doctrine connects us with God and unites us among one another. Every interpretation breaks up, brings separations and splits into the churches. And this we have seen and experienced time and again. And I say it once again, if Christ is the head and he appointed the ministries in the church, then to establish the divine order so that all members of the body of Jesus Christ are being joined together to a divine unity. And whoever remains in the doctrine of Christ and the apostles, he will not be tossed to and fro by all the upcoming doctrines. So, the divine order is really therein that not only a prophetic ministry was promised and then has taken place, but that the divine order in the church is established. And therefore, the ministries must be in the church. I have one question. Is it written here, I will send you one prophet, and through him everything will take place in the church? Or did God send a prophet so that it can take place through the ministries in the church? Say yourself, what is the divine order? And if then brothers are always pointing back to 40 or more years and speak about what God did at that time, brothers and sisters, what God did at that time, this I have seen much more than all the brethren who are saying something somewhere. But that, what I've seen and heard at that time, opened my eyes for that, what God has promised and what He is doing right now by His grace. Also this we have said many times, the looking into the past makes only sense if we get a good sight for the present and then also a good sight for the future. The intention is not just to say God has promised a prophet. He has sent him. It is about the calling out, about the preparation of the church up to the filling with the power from on high, up to the sealing with the Holy Ghost after we received the word of truth. Before, the rapture can of course not even take place, because thus it is written that we were sealed unto the day of the redemption of our bodies. We are not worried about all who went already before us. For them, God has taken care already. Our worry and concern is for them who are living now, because very automatically it will take place that those who sleep in Christ will resurrect. But then it must happen that we who are alive and remain, that will be changed. But then comes the verse from Romans. If this power which raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, then your mortal bodies will be quickened by the Spirit that dwells in you. This is a word addressed to the living, addressed to us in this time. And it is not enough that we are singing, maybe the Lord comes this year. We don't know it. But it must become a holy seriousness to us. Really, a holy seriousness that we are not only having the prophetic orientation about the end time developments, but that we are included in this divine plan of salvation appointed for the church in the end time. That we are all going along on the inside with the preaching and at the same time prayerfully listening and saying to the Lord, let it happen, confirm thy word. Let, as we have heard in the word in Exodus, I will do miracles among you such as never happened on earth among the people among you are dwelling. Brothers and sisters, in the times of Gideon, He was asking, if God is with us, where are then all the miracles of which we have heard, of which our fathers have told us of? We need the presence of God in the church, and the access is by faith. Only the way of faith is safe, unreachable for the enemy, as a German song goes. We are very grateful to God for the testimonies which we have heard in the last days. Yes, in the last week we heard them. I don't know whether the brethren like it to be mentioned, but they are sitting quite in front here, where God, after some serious cancer operations, where really nothing was functioning anymore in the body, and behold, the Lord has healed. God keeps His word. But here's the point. The personal faith and the personal call must come. It cannot always be that others are praying for others. If it really comes to the point, then the afflicted person must call himself upon the Lord. Just like with the prayer for the sick, if anyone is sick among you, so let him, not others for him, so let him call for the elders, so that they pray for him and that they anoint him with oil. Brothers and sisters, God has an order in His word and an order in the church. And also the teaching ministries and everything what goes with it is necessary to align us biblically in the faith. Because that's how it always has been. When God's word was obeyed, then He could bless. Then signs and miracles took place. If the people were disobedient, nothing happened until finally the Lord had to say, because you are serving other gods and not me, therefore I have to scatter you into all the countries, into the countries of the gods which you are serving. And then came the scattering of the people of Israel among all nations. But this was the reason. And if we at this place emphasize that God, at the end of the time of grace, says to us, not only here in Ephesians 4, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father above all and with all, then it was necessary that this biblical proclamation that God is really only one, that it is being put onto the lampstand. Because the Holy Scripture says it like this. And we don't need any interpretation. We just need to receive the word as it was left to us. What shall we do? And I'm asking us here and today, we're not all in the Christian churches and fellowships, have they not have been thrown into the dispersion because they have taken the Trinity doctrine, having fallen themselves into confusion and have kept others in the confusion? But now the moment is here to call out, ye my people, come out. What good is it to all the churches? I read it up today. I was reading it. I also brought with me here the big catechism. Of what avail is it for the people in all the Protestant churches if they recite the creed which is written in this catechism? We believe in a holy Roman Catholic Church. Yes, this they are reciting in all Methodist, Baptist, everywhere, all over the earth. This is being recited as creed. But our creed is here. Not that what was formulated as a creed. And just for your orientation now, one actually doesn't want to say it, but just look at it from afar. Just look at it. The first creed is here on the left page. And just look how short the first creed is in comparison to the next one. This one from Nicaea and the other one from Chalcedon. This one very short and this very long. Here it's written in their own book. The one is called Apostolic Creed, and the other one is called the Creed of Nicaea Constantinople. Yes, what have I to do with Nicaea or Constantinople? I've preached in Constantinople, in the biggest church there. You all know which city this is. Who knows the name of the city today? Istanbul. The former Constantinople is the today's Istanbul. There we have preached together with Brother Maynard in the biggest Orthodox church. And there people, refugees of all the Arabic world, they were coming together to hear the word. When I'm saying this here now, then I'm saying this with a grief in my heart. We of course have nothing against the precious people who are scattered in all the religions and confessions. We have only something against that they are being kept in error and are being comforted from their birth up to their death. Therefore, God has let go forth His word, so that all hear the word of the hour. Also this we have heard, the word today. Today, if you hear His voice. The calling out is just so important, because only the called out ones, they will be able to submit under the word. Only they will be able to let the Spirit of God work until the completion takes place. And we were all reading it, that we will and shall come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Both is right. In Ephesians 4, we have then the directions along the way in details. And I would like that we just see it also this way. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read in verse 27, that in this way He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Did you ever pay attention how and where this mighty verse was embedded in? One must always read what is written before, and if possible, also read what is written afterward. From verse 21, we will have afterward a consecration, a blessing of a young couple. In verse 21 it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The divine order must just be newly enforced. And then, I'm saying this now very honestly, all the others, they will just laugh about what we are going to read now. They will laugh about it, and they will walk over it, and they will say, this is a word which was valid 2,000 years ago, but most certainly not today. But the church of the living God has reverence before the word, before every word of God. And here it's written, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Yes. Dear sisters in Christ, if you wish to experience the perfection according to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27, if you want to appear without spot or wrinkle before the face of the bridegroom, then let this word touch your hearts. Obey it with joy in your hearts and not under a compulsion. In verse 23 it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And at my visit in Jeffersonville, in the headquarter of the Voice of God, I was told, among other things, I was told, Brother Frank, a wife who leaves her husband is a wife without head and has lost the orientation. It must just become clear that the divine order is the order for the church, for marriage and for family. He who drops out of the divine order, even though he is a believer, must ask himself whether repentance commanded by God would not be better for him. And then it says, in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Yes. And what is then, when the wife tells you, you would just love that, wouldn't you? And when she then even says, no way, I will never do it. And then she says, there you can say what you wish, but here I have to say so. And when she just doesn't stop saying, not paying attention to what God has to say to her, but instead making herself independent to say what she has to say, without noticing that she actually has nothing to say whatsoever. God has to say so and no one else. And God says to the husband what he wants to tell him, and he says to the wife what must be said to her. And if all are submitting under it and are respecting it, then everything takes place as God has commanded it in His Word. In the same way, Ephesians 4 comes to fulfillment And also Ephesians 5, from verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So, husbands and wives are spoken to, and please, it is in connection with the perfection of the church, in connection with the word that the bride of the Lamb will appear without spot or wrinkle, unblameable, untouchable. She will appear before the throne of God by His grace. Now what now? Shall one teach the other one? Shall one say to the other one what he must do? No! God speaks to all of us, to me and to you. And the Spirit of God leads us to repentance and leads us into all the truth. Only after verse 26, it says then, that in this way, when all this has been put in order, when wives and husbands find their place, if Christ can be the head of the church, then, that's how we read it, in verse 27, that in this way, if all this is fulfilled among you, then it shall take place, that the church appears without spot or wrinkle before the throne of God, unblameable. Once again, let it be said here, the world, also the Christian religious world, will not care about it. They will walk on their ways. But he who is born of God, husband or wife, in him remains the seed of God. And the seed is the word of God. And if this seed is sown, then it will also come up in this connection. Many things could and should be said. It doesn't help anyone to sing, "The Lord is coming soon, hallelujah," and then bypassing with drums and trumpets what God has to say to the church. And did you know that there were only two special supernatural events where the supernatural cloud appeared in the ministry of Brother Branham? One time, before the opening of the seven seals, on the 28th of February 1962, when the Lord came down in the supernatural cloud, which was photographed by 86 people, and the pictures were sent to Dr. James MacDonald into the University to Tucson to check the meaning of them. And the cloud, the supernatural cloud, was 26 kilometers high. But then it came down, and Brother Branham said, "I was taken up into this cloud, and there I was told the time to open the seven seals has come." The second time, when Brother Branham spoke about the difficult subject, marriage and divorce. And it happened that the pupils, together with the teachers, they went out of the school and also the son of the family Evans. And he said, listen, the teacher, she took us out of the school, and we've seen the light, the cloud. And the boy was at that time quite young and naive. And he said, Mom, could it be that Brother Branham was there where this cloud came down? He was there, and there it was revealed to him what is written in the sermon Marriage and Divorce. We just have to know that God has sent us a message with all the subjects, with the clarification of all things we must know, and not only filling up our minds with it, but lining up our lives accordingly, so that we can appear unblameable before the Lord, washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed and sanctified in the Word of God. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is the truth. All who are of God are hearing the Word of God. They don't discuss about it anymore. They are walking on in peace and are speaking in their hearts and bring it over their lips. Oh God, help me to live according to thy word. And only by this the divine order will be established. And only in this way we have the guarantee that we will be part of it. Don't you ever believe that someone can say to himself or to someone else, what he says, I don't care about. And then, being with the Lord, just like that? No, never. Not with God. Obedience to the word is the only way which leads us to the destination. Everything else is conceit and an illusion. And as I just said, one can sing, the Lord is coming soon, hallelujah. One can hear and recite the word of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14 100 times, come out and be separate. But the question is, what is meant by it? Namely that, what the scripture says, to come out of everything what is not in agreement with God and his word. So that bride and bridegroom before the return of Jesus Christ are already united in word and spirit under the blood of the new covenant. And so that the obedience of the bride church is being manifested just like the obedience of the bridegroom was manifested. And he was obedient unto the death on the cross. So, not only an end time message, but the divine, all including every realm, including divine message, was given to us. And only by this, if we remove every obstacle for the Lord, then he will be able to manifest himself, and his power will be manifested, as we were reading. And then, only then, God will do what never took place on earth. We have heard it in what Brother Branham said, that the moment will come, the moment where the church will be driven together, will be cemented together, where really there is one faith, one baptism, one Lord, the Lord of the church. Not just briefly, the thought The word concerning the baptism, how often shall it be said, when our Lord gives the Great Commission, or gave it, that we should baptize into the name, then this must also take place. One cannot just make a formula out of it. And I could read it to you from the Catechism here. This is the oldest dogma of the Roman Catholic Church. I don't need a dogma of a Roman or a Greek or Anglican church. I need the Word of God, and I need the connection from the Great Commission to the carrying out of the Great Commission. I don't need your explanation, and you don't need my explanation, but together the bridge must be made from the Great Commission to the carrying out of the Great Commission. And here it could be asked, was there ever one act which is written in this book which would bear record of that someone at some time used some kind of formula in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Not in this book and not with God. And therefore, the things must be set right. We don't want to hurt anyone here, but the Word of God is of course sharper than any two-edged sword. And if it does not penetrate, then it was not God's Word which we preached. God's Word must be preached so sharp that it penetrates. It must be a sword which cuts in both directions, a two-edged sword. Most of the swords, they have only one sharp edge. And here, everything is blunt. The Word of God is not blunt. It is a two-edged sword. Whatever way you use it, it cuts, it penetrates. And I thank God for it, that His Word has penetrated, and that it divided asunder soul and marrow, just separating the one from the other one. So, at the first day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, thousands came together. The first sermon had to be held. Peter, thou man of God, thou man of God of the first hour, to you the Lord God gave divine authority. The first sermon had to be preached, and behold, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the first mouth which opened spoke under the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. To whom can I come today with a cleric act where three drops of water are put onto the forehead and saying, now you are born again? No, and again no. To the new birth belongs the divine seed, just as for the natural birth a seed is also necessary. First came the sermon of the Word. This was the seed, and the seed came up, and behold, the answer came, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Brothers and sisters, all you newcomers, God overlooked the time of ignorance. God overlooked all the time where God's people were kept in error here and there. But now, at the end of the time of grace, He lets His word sound forth. And who heard the words of God at that time? Only the people of the covenant. Only God made the covenant only with the people of the covenant. Only they were obligated to the word of the covenant. The same it is today. All who are not included in the new covenant, who do not belong to the true blood-bought flock, those who cannot believe what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, that the Lord God has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we should be His own possession. I'm asking you, do you believe that God has chosen you? Do you believe, as our Lord said, not you have chosen me, I have chosen you. I have ordained you to go and that you bring forth much fruit. Let us summarize of what is about. The last call, ye my people, come out, includes everything what is not in agreement with God and His word, so that we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Christ, unto a perfect man, as the Holy Scripture says it. At this place, we cannot approve or preach the teachings of the various churches, but only the doctrine of the apostles, because the New Testament church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. And as Paul writes on to the Ephesians, the mystery which was hidden throughout the ages, God has revealed to His apostles and prophets. And therefore, God has set into the church the various ministries. And when I say this today, I don't apply this for myself. My commission is to go into all the world, into all people's tongues and nations. I don't claim here to be someone, but if we believe, as the Scripture says, then it belongs to it that to the New Testament church all nine gifts of the Spirit, all the fruits, all the ministries are given. It is high time that we look away from a man and are looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher, because He is building His church. We all have a ministry, but He is building, and we are the living stones. Did we understand this so far? When our Lord in Matthew 13 ended His speech, He was also asking, have you understood all this? Our understanding must be opened for the Scripture in all areas, on all levels, not one-sided, but balanced. We are following the footprints of our Lord according to the word of our God. So, all who are not yet baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ
wurden, können sich heute nach dieser Andacht,
they can, after the service, be baptized. Do it today. Because thus it is written, today, today, if you hear his voice, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the time which the prophets and apostles desired to see and to experience. We have the privilege to see the end of all things and to experience personally the portion which is appointed for the church. The calling out and then the going in, being called out of all the churches in all the nations and going in into the one church, which is the body of the Lord, the temple of the living God. Brothers and sisters, a serious message, a good news, a message of calling out and of going in, a message of correction. And then we lay our will into the will of God, so that it might be fulfilled, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just say yes and amen. Yes and amen. That's how it is written and that's how it happens. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer and let us sing again, just as I am. And we are inviting all to sing with all their hearts. We will also just sing now, Only Believe, but let me emphasize, as we heard it in the word of introduction, God has promised his presence for his people. He promised to do what never took place on earth. And this we are expecting now in the restoration and in the completion, that things will happen which never happened on earth. As Brother Branham has seen in the last round, missing limbs will be restored to the body. He who comes with one arm walks away with two arms. Things will happen as our Lord promised in John 14, verse 12. The works which I did, ye shall do also, and greater works than these, for I go to my Father. It's God's business to watch over his word and his people. And if we are his people, which respects his word in obedience of faith, then we testify by it to be sons and daughters of God, being under the blood of the new covenant, and all the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ, and then also through us for the glory of God. Do we believe now for healing and deliverance? Let us take God at his holy word and he will confirm it. Hallelujah. Only believe. Amen.
Dazu können wir Amen sagen.
To this we can say Amen. Before we are asking the second question, let me start with the first one. How many among us have already experienced our Lord also in the body, having experienced an healing in their bodies? Let me see your hands. Just look. Please, just look around. Brother Rus and myself, we can also raise our hands. I think I must say here, this is a strengthening of faith for all of us who we are coming to the Lord today and who we are expecting from Him a bodily healing. Yesterday, after the service, a kind gentleman from Prague came to me and gave his testimony, what God has done on him. Brothers and sisters, yesterday, a brother came into the office and testified of what God did on him. God is present. And here's the point. God's word cannot return void. The promises are accomplishing. They must accomplish. Otherwise, the word cannot return to God, except it has accomplished for what God has sent it. And it is written, He sent His word and healed them. Today, we are the church of the living God, not beggars who stand outside and who must wait until something is falling down for them. As the Gentile woman in the days of our Lord, we are God's covenant people, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, purchased by the blood of the new covenant. In the Old Testament, God said, I will make a new covenant after these days with you. The new covenant is made. All the promises are yes and amen. Whom can we include today in this prayer? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Amen. Amen. And now we are all raising our hands. Doesn't have to be so high, and we are praying by faith, together. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we have heard your word, we believe, as the scripture says, and the scripture says, he who believes on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Beloved Lord and God, heal now all over, everywhere where people are believing and are receiving your word and the promises.
Hallelujah. 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 Christ. Mein Preis und Ehre sei dir,
dem Allmächtigen. Praise, glory and honor be unto you, the Almighty God. You have confirmed thy word. By your stripes all were healed. And from this hour on, it will get better with each one for whom we have prayed today. We believe that you are keeping your word.
Hallelujah.
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 We pray especially for our beloved brother in the south, near the Lake Constantia. We pray for him as the whole church, that you may touch him now in his soul and spirit and body, that you take him out of everything what may still accuse him, so that he can approach with joy the mercy seat where the blood of the Lamb was applied. In thee, beloved Lord, also he received full forgiveness, full reconciliation, grace and salvation. And by your stripes, O Lord, he also is healed, and his pain you took upon yourself. Beloved Lord, make it true. Let it happen. Even though it seems so complicated to the doctors, you are saying, even today, I am the Lord your physician. O God, let it be manifested for the glory and praise of your holy name. Hallelujah. Now bless all who are going to be baptized, and bless the rest of this service, and be with all of us in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.